Now, when you turn 60, what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know that I ever would have said climb a mountain.
Yeah, I don't think I would either.
I don't know, mate. Give me a few more years to think about that. But that's
You've got longer than me.
I do have a bit to think about it. But that's something that our next guest did. Experienced mountain trekker and motivational speaker, Dr. Pam Lynch, is on the line. Hello.
Hi, Pam.
Hi there. How are you?
Very well. Now, was that your grand plan when you turned 60 to decide to trek to Nepal?
Not really. It was never part of my plan, to be honest.
So you're saying this could be in my future too?
Few glasses of wine.
It could be anybody's adventure, actually, yes.
And once you'd said yes, that was it? You couldn't turn back?
Well, no, I couldn't. But I was positive I was going to do this. It was a decision I'd made and I was going to get it done, and I did. And, it was a brilliant, brilliant adventure.
So was it a 60th birthday spur of the moment, or were you involved in trekking and mountain climbing before you just decided this was where you were heading?
No, it was definitely a spur of the moment decision. From the time I was 40 to 60, I guess a lot of things changed in my life. I went back to study when I was 40, and after sort of 15 years of part-time study, I came out with a PhD, and that was never part of the plan either. So then for the next few years, I travelled a lot, did a lot of stuff. Unfortunately, got divorced in the process, so I was living by myself for the first time ever. So I was coming up to 60. I always travelled a lot, and I thought, what am I going to do next year for my 60th birthday? I wanted to go somewhere, and I just couldn't settle on where. So I was doing a lot of Googling, as you do, and I came across this trek. It was run by World Expeditions, and it was actually to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the first ascent of Mount Everest by Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. And I thought, that is me. It was my 60th birthday. This was to celebrate the 60th anniversary of that first ascent.
Of course.
This is me. I had never, ever trekked before. I'd always stayed reasonably fit. I didn't mind walking, but, that was the extent of it.
That's a whole other level, though. Don't mind walking to decide to trek Nepal.
We have a few hills in Perth. What are you talking about?
No, true, fair enough.
You can go up, 400 or 500 metres.
Yeah, exactly. What's another 10? What's tenfold on top of that? Nothing, really.
Exactly. I can do that. I can do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I didn't tell anybody that I was thinking about doing it. I thought, I want to make this decision by myself without anybody else's input, because I knew there were some people that would probably say, give me all the reasons why I shouldn't.
And there are many of those people around.
So I booked, and I don't think I'd really understood what I'd let myself into until I started doing a bit of research after I'd booked. I trained for 11 months. I climbed a lot of steps, did a lot of walking, and, a couple of months before I was 60, I headed up into Nepal there to trek to Everest Base Camp.
Now, you could say just quietly, just as a little bit of an understatement, that nothing really went to plan.
To be honest, that was the first time. This was in 2013. And for some obscure reason, I decided to go back again last year, 2015.
Okay.
And that is when nothing went according to plan.
Right.
Absolutely.
So was it the
statement?
What made you go back?
That is an impossible question to answer, to be honest. I don't know. But when you've been up there, you've done this sort of thing, it just is something that gets into your blood.
That's why I'm interested. It becomes part of you and it's imprinted that you just can't get enough?
It certainly does. It's the most amazing experience to be up there in those mountains. They're just huge, and it really just puts your life into perspective. Mm. And it's just so peaceful. I went with a company who dealt with everything for us. So basically all we had to do was get up in the morning, get dressed in the same clothes we'd probably worn yesterday, and just walk. everything else was done for us. So there was a lot of time to think, to reflect, and yeah, it is something that just gets into your blood. So I decided less than 2 years later to head back there and do another, a slightly different trek, a harder trek.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that time not so peaceful.
Yeah.
Definitely not so peaceful. No, I was initially it was a harder trek because there was a lot of unseasonable snow. Mm. So we got stopped at a pass we couldn't go over. We had to turn around and backtrack and all that sort of thing. But after the trek, I was still in Kathmandu when, unfortunately, that major earthquake hit on Anzac Day last year. So that was...
How alone did you feel?
Oh, yeah. Totally. It was... The thing is, I wasn't... My initial plans, I would have been out of Nepal 2 days earlier. Mm. But for some strange reason, again, all these things happen. They happen for a reason. Mm. But, you know, I changed my flights. I decided to have another couple of days in Kathmandu. I decided, you know, this was the second time I'd been there and there was one particular monument that I hadn't seen. So my plan for that day, it was my last day, was to have breakfast, go down into Tamil, which is the tourist area there, go to Durbar Square and, you know, do a bit of touristy stuff. But again, for some reason, I changed my mind over between breakfast and heading out. I decided that, no, maybe I wouldn't. And I just decided to sit in the lobby of the hotel, read, just chill out and, you know, just enjoy my last day there.
Now, that's interesting. That's really interesting because when you're in a country and you want, there's something that you've just set your mind on, you don't even look sideways. You just have to go and do it. And that's really, how hard was that to come to terms with when you knew what had happened after?
Yeah, because that particular tower that I was going to see came down. And it gives me the shivers just sitting here talking about it. It's still, you know, it still affects me. It
wasn't long ago, Pam.
No, it wasn't, no. It took me a long time to... I kept questioning why. Why, number one, why was I there? But number two, why hadn't I gone through with my plans that morning?
Yes.
And obviously, I wasn't meant to, you know. But, yeah, the whole experience was the most frightening thing I have ever been for, and I would not wish it on anyone, ever.
Pam, do you trust your gut more?
You do, I guess. Yes, you do. I do go with my gut feeling these days. If something, you know, if I want to do something, I'll do it. But yeah, you can't live your life thinking, oh my God, if I do this, what are the options? What's likely to happen? You know, this could go wrong, that could go wrong, the other could go wrong. You can't live your life dictated by that sort of thing. What might happen? You've got to get on with it. You've got to do what you want to do. You've got to set your goals, and you've got to get out there and achieve them. And yeah, these things happen in the world, unfortunately, as very recently we know. But you can't let these things stop you.
So now you were part of, you were there on the 25th of April last year in 2015. Now do you have an extra special link to families or people or where you were, Pam?
Yeah, I do. There's one particular girl, lady. She was a guide on my first trek, and we kept in touch after that via the wonderful means of Facebook and email. And when I went last year, we caught up, her and I met her husband. She has two daughters. And she took myself and another couple of people on a tour of one of the areas of just outside Kathmandu before we went on the trek. So, and she is an amazing, they are amazing people out in Nepal. But, yeah, when this happened, as I say, she's got two young daughters and their house was damaged and they ended up living in a very small tent in, you know, one of the parks along with thousands of other people. And, yeah, well, there is that special connection there. We look after one of the girls. We're putting, sort of paying her school fees and putting her helping them out. There's a group of us doing it. It costs us a couple of dollars a month, and to us, that's nothing. Mm. To them, it is everything.
Yeah.
They are such amazing people, but they just don't have what we take for granted.
No.
Basic sanitation, fresh water. It's just, beyond their realms of possibility, sort of thing.
Now, I know that you've got a talk coming up at the Kalamunda Library. When's that? Wednesday, August 10, is that right?
I believe, you're one step ahead of me,
And it's free. It's free. So,
there you go.
Yeah, great resource libraries, and I think they're doing amazing things to involve people.
Yeah, because I've got one next Thursday morning at the Joondalup Library as well.
Okay.
There you go.
So next Thursday, you tell us about Joondalup. We'll tell you about Kalamunda.
How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
And a couple of opportunities there to go into to detail, because I'd love to sit here and talk longer, but sadly we don't have the time.
The one on next Thursday, the 21st of July, it's at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Joondalup Library. I believe admission is $2, I think. But you do need to get onto the library website and just register. That's all, just so they know how many are coming.
How many chairs and cups of tea.
Exactly. And that one is about your adventurous spirit. Where has it gone and how do you get it back again? And
where it might take you.
Exactly, yes.
From someone that knows from the inside.
That's right.
Thank you so much for your time. It's a fascinating chat, and I can imagine there will be some very interesting chats as well at the libraries. Dr. Pam Lynch, great to chat to you today.
Thanks, Pam.
Thanks, guys.